Okay. So actually, you have the Bhagavatam up there, but today is actually a special day in the Vaishnava calendar, if anyone checked the calendar. Very special day. It's the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So you might have missed that, but we're going to speak about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami today. First we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunyabhi
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Vrinse Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vindaki Chai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopakumta Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Vaturidam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamanamai Ki Jai Shrimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Priminanda Hari 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 Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, so Omagana Timidandasha Gadanjana Shalakaya Chaksur Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gunave Namaha. And first I'm going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a little bit about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami from Adi Lila 10:16. So we'll start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Gaur Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Prabhupada's translation and commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, whose appearance day is today. It's a very important day of the Vaishnava calendar. So we'll just read the translation and commentary. Gadadhar Pandit, the fourth branch, is described as an incarnation of the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. No one, therefore, can equal him. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika 147-53, it is stated that the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna, formerly known as Vrindavaneshwari, is now personified in the form of Sri Gadadhar Pandit in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami has pointed out that in the shape of Lakshmi, the pleasure potency of Krishna, she was formerly very dear to the Lord as Shyamasundara Balava. The same Shyamasundara Balava was present in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Gadadhar Pandit. Formerly as Lalita Sakhi, she was always devoted to Srimati Radharani. Thus, Gadadhar Pandit is simultaneously an incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. In the 12th chapter of this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the descendants or the cyclic succession of Gadadhar Pandit. Okay. So, speaking a little bit about Gadadhar Pandit, first we have to mention about the Panchatattva. I think most of you know the Panchatattva, that means the five aspects of the Absolute Truth. We chant their names every morning, in case you haven't figured that out. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwait Gadadha Shivasati Gaur. Many devotees, they chant mantras and they don't know when the mantras are made. That's a standard in ISKCON. It's called Nimagraha. Anyway. So, what you have in the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, which Prabhupada said we chant before chanting Hare Krishna because it relieves us from all offenses to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what you have are three Vishnu Tattva entities, one Shakti Tattva entity, and one Jiva Tattva entity. So that means you have Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Then you have Lord Nityananda, Balaram Hoila Nitai, who is Balaram. And you have Dvaitacharya, who is Sadashiva Mahavishnu, also Vishnu Tattva, Then you have Ganadhar, who is Shakti Tattva, Shakti Tattva, which is described here as the Lord's potency, a combined incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. And then, finally, you have Shivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. So you have representation of every aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every aspect of the Lord's energies. You have, of course, there's that statement, Vishnu Purana, the Lord has multifarious potencies, and actually, generally, they're described as three. Vishnu Shakti Pra Prabhda Shekhrabhya Tata Pra Vidikarma Sangyanya Tritiya Shakti Ishute. And for those of you who don't understand Sanskrit, that means the Lord has three basic potencies, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the living entity, which is us. And we have a choice. We could choose between the material and spiritual entities. Therefore, we're called Kshetra, which means the knower of the field. And our knower of the field is this material body right now. And later on, it will be the knower of the field of Vrindavan. So, anyways, you have different categories of the Lord's energies. So, Ganadhar Pandit Goswami has a combined incarnation of Radharani and Lalita Sakhi, appeared with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sri Navadvip Dham. And he was a childhood friend of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They would actually play together. But at a particular point, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami became a little disgusted with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up, if you can say that about Lord Chaitanya, anyway, as he manifested pastimes that indicated he was apparently a little older, although he has the same transcendental spiritual body, then Lord Chaitanya started to manifest pastimes of being someone who was very argumentative. That means he studied logic, and he used that logic to defeat the Vaishnavas. Now that's quite interesting how God can be opposed to theism. You would think that, God would want everyone to worship him, so why is he opposed to theism? Well, the reason he was opposed, and actually harassing the devotees in many different ways, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would, after some time, try to avoid Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami tried to preach to him, he said to him, "Don't worry, Gadadhar, in the future I'll be sent by your mercy, I'll become such a great devotee that even the demigods will worship me." So he not only exhibited extreme attachment to rhetoric and philosophy in opposition to theology, that he also exhibited extreme pride. Very prideful. Lord Chaitanya was very prideful. So, why is this? Why did Lord Chaitanya exhibit so much pride when he was young? You would think, why isn't he setting a good example for us? Well, he is setting a good example. Not that we should become prideful. But he's setting a good example because he actually changed as soon as he took initiation. Now, that's an example for us. That to connect with Krishna's pure devotee, of course, Lord Chaitanya doesn't need to connect with Krishna's pure devotee because he is Krishna. But to connect with Krishna's pure devotee gives us connection with Krishna. Because before that, without that, there's no connection. Like this verse, what is that? Sampradaya vignaye mantras te nishpala bhataha. That if you have some mantra you're chanting and you're not connected to the disciplic succession and you haven't received it through the chain of disciplic succession, it's useless. Even if you're chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, there may be some namabhas, some basic benefit that's not going to really take you to the spiritual realm. Just like we have nowadays, so many people, popular people who are chanting Hare Krishna, who are not even devotees. I think one of the most popular people persons who was chanting, and he had all the devotees buy his CDs, and he said he doesn't believe in Krishna. Hare Krishna. And he says, he's me too. Anyway. So what is the potency? There's no potency. You have to be connected to the disciplic succession in order to have any spiritual potency. Krishna Shakti Vinana Hate Hare Pravartana. That's another verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That without Krishna Shakti, it has no benefit. So very important. So Lord Chaitanya, when he took initiation from Ishwarapuri, he changed his external exhibition of his mentality. And then he showed himself to be a great devotee. And of course, not only a great devotee, as God, because he used to sit on the altar. Quite a change. Can you imagine? Someone comes to the temple and they're an atheist, and then a few years later they sit on the altar with the deities. That's actually what Lord Chaitanya did. Of course, he is God. We should not do that. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed his mood, or changed the external manifestation of his mood, then he called Gadadhar to be with him, and Gadadhar was crying in ecstasy and was constant companion throughout all of his childhood pastimes. He could never leave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at any time. And so, he was so attached that his name, or Lord Chaitanya's name, became Gadadhar Prananath. Now this word Prananath basically means the Lord of my life heirs, or the Lord of my life, or the Lord of my soul, the Lord of my existence. It's actually in, sometimes in Hindi culture, the wife calls the husband Prananath, isn't it? Nowadays they don't. They just say, hey you, come here and give me money. But in the traditional culture in India, or the wife would call the husband what? A Swami. Something like that. And the husband would call the wife Priya, but now it's not. There's no more culture. It's just like, forget it. Throw it out the window. So Prananath basically means my most dear person. I can't live without you. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya was called Gadadhar Prananath, the most dear, that Lord Chaitanya was the most dear person to Gadadhar. He couldn't live without him. So after some time, Gadadhar Pandit, this is another pastime in Navadvipa, Gadadhar Pandit didn't have any spiritual master. So Mukunda Dutt, who was another great associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was thinking we should arrange for Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who wasn't Goswami at that time, but just Gadadhar Pandit, to take initiation and approach a great Vaishnava. Of course, it is not that any Vaishnava can be the guru of Gadadhar Pandit. So he was thinking, Mukunda Dutt was thinking, of an appropriate spiritual master, and then he came upon in his mind a great devotee named Pundarik Vijayaniti. And Pundarik Vijayaniti happened to be an incarnation of Vrishabhanu. So Vrishabhanu, of course, is Lord is Srimati Radharani's mother in the Braj pastimes. In fact, Srimati Radharani is called Vrishabhanu Nandini. That means the daughter of Vrishabhanu. So Pundarik Vijayaniti, he was actually Vrishabhanu. So Mukunda, thinking like this, brought Gadadhar to see Pundarik Vijayaniti. However, Pundarik Vijayaniti did not fit the standard mold or the standard, external appearance of what we normally consider to be a great Vaishnava. Normally, if you see a great Vaishnava, he's dressed very simply. Very, very simply. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he didn't even wear a saffron dhoti like I'm wearing. He wore like a longer gumcha, it's called a lungi. And it was white. Actually, this standard of sannyas that you see here is modern. It was Vaishnava Sampradaya. because people in India, people were Ramanuja Pandits and also groups in India. Anyway, so generally Vaishnavas are very simple and dress very simply, are not opulent, don't have so much jewelry on their bodies, because they're Vairagya Vijaya, Nija Bhakti Yoga, as Lord Chaitanya was described by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They're renounced persons. They're renounced. They're not interested in acquiring more goods. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi exhibited a pastime of being quite the opposite. Even though he was the most renounced, he was sitting when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami first saw him. He was sitting on an opulent bedstead, silk sheets, you know, four-poster bed. You all know what a four-poster bed is? That means you have four posts, or each post at each corner of the bed, and there's a canopy, a silk canopy overhead, with all sorts of flowers and decorations. And he was chewing pan, and his teeth were, and his lips were reddish from the pan. And his hair, he had long hair, and it was oiled, you know, very nice sandalwood oil, and it was combed back like that. So it was quite a different appearance for a Vaishnava. So Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw this, after Mukunda Dutt brought him to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, Mukunda Dutt is just too liberal. This person, he may be a Vaishnava, but he's a materialistic Vaishnava. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Vaishnavas who were interested in material advancement to be like worms in stool. Now that's pretty heavy, isn't it? In fact, Lord Chaitanya called the father and uncle of Ranganath Das Goswami, they're worms in stool. That's a pretty big insult, isn't it? How do you say worms in stool in Hindi? Anyway, any Hindi speakers? And in Bengali, kita is a worm or insect. I don't know how you say stool. Anyway, so, I mean, it's a big insult. And Lord Chaitanya said that about Raghunath Das Goswami's father and uncle, even though they were supporting the Vaishnavas and they were, you know, they were taking care of Haridas Thakur and so many things they did. And Lord Chaitanya said, they're considered worms in stool because what happens when you take a worm out of stool? You put him on the table and said, why don't you take me out of the stool? Put me back. So, anyway, that's Lord Chaitanya. Don't blame me. No, of course, Vaishnavas can be opulent if they use it in Krishna's service. But if they just use it for their own sense gratification and are thinking of material advancement, then that appellation applies. So, Gadadhar Pandit thought this was someone like that, someone who's just interested in the material world. You know, why should I take his association? Then Mukunda Dutt and his friend, he was a famous singer, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he started to sing some songs about Krishna's mercy from the Bhagavatam. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, he exhibited extreme emotions, which are called Vyabhachari bhavas. There's different bhavas or emotions that devotees exhibit. Of course, most of us right now are exhibiting bhava rog. Does anyone know what that means? No, no one knows what. Rog means diseased. Diseased emotions. You know, sochati, kanchati, hankering, lamenting for material. This is bhava rog. This is like people, sometimes they sing the blues. You don't know how unhappy I am. You don't know how miserable I am. Oh, life is so terrible. Take some Prozac. You know, that's called bhava rog. Or even attraction to material things, you know. There's like mundane falling in love. That's bhava rog, too. I was, just on a side note, I was speaking the other day about how mundane emotions or mundane falling in love is like the opposite of devotional service, the opposite type of progression. In devotional service, we start with Vaidhi Bhakti, that means devotional service and practice, and then we gradually come up to Raghunuga, Bhava, and then finally Prema Bhakti. So in the material world, when one falls in love, they start with Prema. And if they want to stay together, they have to take a Vaidhi at the end. You know, rules and regulations. Out of a sense of duty, that's what it means. So anyway, apart from that, getting back to the story. So, Punarik Vidyanidhi started to exhibit Vyabhachari Bhavas. Vyabhachari Bhavas means uncontrolled ecstasy. It's 33 of them. Devotees have different types of bhavas. There's vibhava, that means that which stimulates you to exhibit emotions. There's anubhava, the emotions that follow, they're voluntary. There's astasattvika bhavas, the bhavas that are always there with you. And there's vyabhachari bhavas, which are sometimes described as sanchari bhavas, same thing, which is just uncontrolled ecstasy, intermittent. You never know when it's going to strike. Just like one time Prabhupada was visiting two places, it happened. Prabhupada was visiting Caracas, Venezuela. And he saw Shishi Gornatai on the altar. And Prabhupada said, this is so far away from Sridhar Mayapur. And then he started to sing this song, Paramakarana Ho Dvijanam Nittai Gaurachan, which means the supreme, most merciful lordships, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he was glorifying them. And then Prabhupada stopped and went completely, let's say, absorbed in spiritual ecstasy, and nobody knew what was happening. And 5 minutes later, the devotees started chanting, and Prabhupada came back to this external world. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when this happens, Prabhupada? Because it didn't happen very often, because Prabhupada generally, he was able to keep his ecstasies down, because if Prabhupada always exhibited ecstasies, we'd all become a bunch of sahajas. We'd have Mangal Arati and everybody would be rolling on the ground and fainting, which Prabhupada said one time when someone rolled on the ground and fainted, kick him out of the temple room. So Prabhupada said, he said rather apologetically, he said, I do not do that very often. You know, almost like, please excuse me. Because Prabhupada didn't really want to exhibit that in front of us. So, Punarik Vidyanidhi started to exhibit such symptoms of ecstasy. Not only did he lose consciousness, but he started rolling on the bed, kicked all the sheets, ripped all the sheets on his bed, you know, foaming at the mouth, which is one of the anubhavas. And basically, Gadadhara Pandit was pretty shocked to see that. Pretty shocked because he understood that he had committed an offense, thinking that a great Vaishnava, whoops, there goes the pillow, thinking that a great Vaishnava was an ordinary person. Because there's that injunction in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that one considers the Vaishnava to be an ordinary person or the deity to be made of stone, he's possessed of hellish intelligence. So Gadadhara was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? I offended this great Vaishnava. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi came back to consciousness several hours later, Gadadhara Pandit begged to be his disciple. So I guess that's what you do when you commit an offense. Because that means many of us would be begging many people to become our gurus. That wouldn't be practical. So we have to be careful. Vandanvi savananamate, as described. Savanan means caution. Like you see this sign in Hindi on the roads in India, savanan. Of course, in India that means you just go faster. Right? Saravanan. Nobody pays attention. Red light means fast. So, but really we should be cautious in approaching the Vaishnavas. We don't know who we're dealing with. Even our own godbrothers, godsisters, uncles, aunts, whoever, you know. We don't know who we're dealing with. And so just be very cautious dealing with each other. And, you know, we're with each other all the time, and we tend to become complacent and take each other for granted. But we should always be respectful. That's why we have the term Prabhu when we refer to each other. And the ladies can be called Prabhi, right? Instead of, hey, Mataji. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that one. People kick me out of here if I start to get into nomenclature. So Ganadhar Pandit begged for initiation, and Pundarika Vidyanidhi said at that point, wow, I am so fortunate to have a disciple like that. I don't think I ever said that about any of my disciples. I'm so fortunate to have a disciple like that. But anyway, he said that because that's Radharani, and he is Rishabhana. So he took initiation, and then he was associated with Lord Chaitanya even more during the Navadvipa pastimes. One interesting story is how he even protected Lord Chaitanya. One time Lord Chaitanya was feeling the mood of separation from Krishna, because he's in the mood of Radharani, Srimati Radharani. So he was started to tear at his chest, saying, first he said, where is Krishna? And Ganadhar Pandit said, he's in your heart. And Lord Chaitanya started with his nails to tear apart his skin in his chest. And Ganadhar Pandit grabbed his hands and said, no, don't do that. And Sachimata, who is Lord Chaitanya's mother, said, Ganadhar, you're very intelligent. You should always stay with Nimai to protect him. And other pastimes come to mind. Of course, after some time, Lord Chaitanya, after 24 years, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and he went to Jagannath Puri to live, and Ganadhar Pandit, not able to bear his separation, went to Jagannath Puri to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ganadhar Pandit took a vow there of Kshetra sannyas. Although he didn't take the normal sannyas from a sannyas guru, but he took a vow of Kshetra sannyas, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes as the preferable sannyas in Kali Yuga, where as one gets older, instead of just taking sannyas and getting prophet adoration and distinction from everybody, one takes a vow to remain in a holy place and serve the deities there, do service. And so he was taking the vow of doing the service to these deities named, or the deity named Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. And there's famous stories about Tota Gopinath. He's quite a big deity. Some of you have seen Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. And originally Tota Gopinath was standing up. Very, very tall deity. And Ganadhar Pandit was able to take care of him, but as Ganadhar Pandit got older, he manifested the pastimes of not being able to take care of the deities, because the deity is very tall, and as you get old, you have certain challenges in your body. And so the deity, one morning, decided to sit down. So he's one of the few deities of Krishna playing a flute sitting down. Sitting down fully like this, so that you can reach him. And that is one of the most popular temples for the devotees to go to now when they go to Jagannath Puri to see the Tota Gopinath deity sitting down. Very, very beautiful deity. And so, also at the pastime, the end of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya entered into this deity, the deity that was being taken care of by Ganadhar Pandit Goswami, and right entered into the thigh of the deity. And if you give a donation, which is the standard way to see the deities in India, the pujari will pull up the cloth and show you the golden streak on the deity's thigh where Lord Chaitanya entered. Ganadhar Pandit also left this world, entering into the deity room and disappearing at that particular point. So this deity is very, very, very special to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and actually all the Vaishnavas. And in Jagannath Puri, Ganadhar Pandit used to give Srimad Bhagavatam class to Lord Chaitanya. That's pretty amazing. Every day, in such a sweet voice that Lord Chaitanya would be crying as Ganadhar was giving that class. In fact, later on, There's a story about Srinivasacharya, who came to study the Srimad Bhagavatam to Jagannath Puri after Lord Chaitanya had left and Gadadhar had left. But he came to study the Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Chaitanya's associates. And that Srimad Bhagavatam was illegible because Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had been crying so much, the words were washed off of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amazing. And so then he had to go get another Srimad Bhagavatam and bring it to Jagannath Puri to study. And by that time, everyone had passed away. The famous story. And so, because Srinivasacharya kept going to different holy places, by the time he got there, everyone passed away and he was completely immersed in the mood of separation from Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So, Gadadhar Pandit would give Srimad Bhagavatam class every day to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of his vow of Kshetra Sannyas, Gadadhar Pandit would not leave, or should not have left, Jagannath Puri, although he did one time. He tried to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya forbade him. He said, "You have taken this vow of Kshetra Sannyas." But the interesting thing is Gadadhar Pandit Goswami said that let my vow Kshetra Sannyas go to hell. You know, that's pretty interesting. Why did he say that? Because he was so attached to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya protected his vow and Lord Chaitanya sent him back to take care of the deity. So he never left Jagannath Puri. Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to South India, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Vrindavan and other places to preach Krishna consciousness. Now, in the verse we read before, it mentions that Gadadhar Pandit is the combined incarnation of Lalita Sakhi and also Srimati Radharani. That's very, very interesting. However, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, getting a little bit into the bhava of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami did not actually have the same bhava in a complete sense as Lalita and Srimati Radharani. Because Lalita Devi and Srimati Radharani, especially Srimati Radharani, they're left-handed gopis. That doesn't mean they write with their left hand. You know, let me explain what I mean. There's right-handed gopis and left-handed gopis. The left-handed ones are unsubmissive. They talk back. They argue with Krishna. And the right-handed ones, submissive, like Chandravala, very submissive, and Padma. Very, very submissive. So who do you think Krishna likes more? The left-handed ones. Because the right-handed ones gets a little boring. So you, devotees who are married, you should encourage your wives to be left-handed. It's more enjoyable. And Krishna, in order to get them angry, he does so many things. Radharani, that your face is like many moons. And of course, the word for many moons in Sanskrit is Chandravali. And Chandravali is Radharani's so-called competitor. Actually, it's mentioned for Radharani, for the pastime's sake. And imagine a man telling his wife or girlfriend that you have a beautiful face, it's just like my other girlfriend. It's quite upsetting. Just try that. And see what happens. So Krishna did that. And when Krishna did that, Radharani got so angry, she just left. And Lalita, who was also in this mood, took up a stick to beat Krishna if he ever came near. So this is called the left-handed mood. And so, and Krishna finally, to meet with Srimati Radharani, had to dress himself as a girl. So Krishna is the original cross-dresser. As you say. Or, there's another word, drag. You ever heard that word before? Krishna dressed in drag. So, and he took the deities. He took the deities' jewelry and clothes and dressed himself. So, apart from that, that's the mood of Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi. Yet, you have Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who's not in that mood. He never argued with Lord Chaitanya, although Lord Chaitanya tried to get him to argue. You know, for one particular time, Lord Chaitanya didn't let him come into his association, and he never got reprimanded by Gadadhar Pandit. Whereas if you're dealing with Srimati Radharani, there's so many stories as we mentioned before, that the gopis, there's even this type of holy called Latmar Holi. You've heard about that before? Latmar Holi means the holy festival, part of the holy festival where the women beat the men. Once upon a time I went to Varshana, and I didn't know it was Latmar Holi. I just thought, you know, I see Varshana right around these places. Got out of the car, and that was it for me. All the ladies said, there he is, get him. And I was multicolored. In the space of 1 minute, I was multicolored. And luckily, I escaped. I was beaten by the women. So, not hard. So that's famous. So, Gadadhar Pandit never argued with Lord Chaitanya. So what is the reason that Gadadhar Pandit was acting like a right-handed gopi, or in the right-handed mood rather than the left-handed mood? Whereas you have another devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Jagadananda Pandit, who was considered to be an incarnation of Satyabhama, who argued with Lord Chaitanya. Like that story that Jagadananda Pandit, he brought sandalwood oil for Lord Chaitanya's massage, and Lord Chaitanya refused to take the sandalwood oil because he didn't want to appear like what's called a Dari sannyasi. You know, a sannyasi who puts on perfume and keeps women around and everything like that. So, Jagannanda Pandit, what he did is he took that sandalwood oil and just smashed it on the ground. Just broke the whole container. You know, you're talking about thousands of dollars worth of sandalwood there. And he locked himself in a room 3 days without coming out. Can you imagine that? That's called severe depression. And finally, Lord Chaitanya had to say, I need someone to cook for me. Come out and cook something. So he came out, and Lord Chaitanya ate the prasadam. And Lord Chaitanya said, even in an angry mood, your food tastes really good. But that was the mood of Jagannanda Pandit. Whereas Gadadhar Pandit, he never argued with Lord Chaitanya. So the explanation is that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami lost the left-handed bhava because Lord Chaitanya stole it from him. Because Lord Chaitanya was in that mood of Radharani, so it wouldn't have been appropriate to have two persons in the same mood. To have Gadadhar Pandit in the mood of Radharani and Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Radharani, because Lord Chaitanya's in the mood of Radharani because he wanted to understand Radharani's love for him, wanted to enjoy from her perspective, wanted to see himself from her perspective. So that was Lord Chaitanya's mood. In fact, there's some stories that in the spiritual world, one time Krishna was thinking of Srimati Radharani so much that he turned into golden form and turned into Lord Chaitanya. So in other words, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna thinking of Radharani and ultimately taking her position, because when you think of someone enough, you actually start to act like them. I mean, I had one of my godbrothers who was a very great devotee of Lord Narsingadeva, and he would walk around like that, quite frightening. And sometimes you see the devotees who actually go in front of the deity in Sridhar Mayapur, you, Lord Narsingadeva, and they get an angry mood. Like that. So when you think about someone enough, you actually begin to manifest some of their mood. So Lord Chaitanya is Krishna thinking about Radharani manifesting her mood, her bhava. And Gadadhar Pandit is more in a submissive mood towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are some of the pastimes and explanation of the bhavas and the ontology, that means who Gadadhar Pandit is, of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So any questions or comments? Today is his glorious appearance day. It's a very important day in the Vaishnava calendar. Very important day. Yes, you have a question.
Thank you very much. My question is, can we argue with each other and can we argue with the spiritual master?
Let's take the second part of your question first. Can we argue? We were talking about this last night, actually, in the program we did. That some of you may be familiar with Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He would sometimes argue with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada considered him to be one of the foremost of his disciples. And Prabhupada appreciated it. But it's not that he was actually angry with Prabhupada. There's a difference. Like Srimati Radharani actually, out of her love, gets angry with Krishna. But he was interested in fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's mission. So in fulfilling the mission of the spiritual master, fulfilling the mission of Prabhupada, then you're not supposed to be a blind follower. You know, many of us think that to be a good disciple means just to be a, as they say in Hindi, a chamcha. Chamcha is a fancy word, chamach, which means spoon, which means yes man. Yeah, you say yes man. Like the politicians, they always have their chamchas in India. Like, yes man, yes man. So the disciples should not be like that, a yes man or a yes lady. They should be interested in the mission of the spiritual master. And sometimes, just the example I gave last night was, one time, Prabhupada prohibited the devotees from wearing wigs on Sankirtan. Now the reason we have to wear wigs on Sankirtan is because everybody in the 1990s had short hair. We look, and so every place you try. And so what happened is the devotees went to Prabhupada and they said, these devotees are wearing wigs, it's just they're in Maya. And Prabhupada said, hippie seeds. That's what Prabhupada considered long hair. If it was any longer than 2 weeks, it was a hippie seed. In other words, a creeper of hippie would grow. Like the creeper of devotion. You water it. So anyway, Prabhupada did not like facial hair or anything like that. That's another issue. So Prabhupada said, no more wigs. They cannot wear wigs. And they cannot dress, you know, like normal Western gentlemen, ladies, whatever. And so another devotee presented to Prabhupada, I think it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that if they do that, the book distribution will go down by 50%. And he said, they're not looking like hippies, because everybody dresses like that with long hair. They're just fitting in. And then Prabhupada changed his opinion, because the devotee argued with him in a respectful mood. I mean, we're persons, you know, we all have different understandings, we have a right to present things to the spiritual master, not blind following. Of course, there's that one typical story with Tamal Krishna Maharaj that I'm sure you've all heard before, that when Prabhupada wanted to send him to China, he didn't want to go in the beginning. And actually, he was the one who suggested China to Prabhupada when Prabhupada was trying to send him somewhere, because all the temple presidents in America were upset with him because the Radha Damodar party had stolen all the brahmacharis from the temple, because the temple president would wake up in the morning, all the brahmacharis would be gone. And actually, there were even proposals made to the GBC to send all the ladies and grihasthas to Australia. I might have mentioned that before. That's why you're all here. You're all came from America. Anyway, so Prabhupada said that you should go to China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I was just joking when I said China, Timbuktu, whatever. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna has spoken through you. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj basically said, I'm not going. And Prabhupada said, if you don't go, I'm just taking away all your service. You're going to sit down here in Mayapur and chant. You know, there was this discussion going on there. And then he did go to China, or he agreed to go to China. Because of that, we have thousands or tens of thousands of Chinese devotees. So everything has a purpose to it. And so, but Prabhupada, he loved him so much that Prabhupada accepted him in the final days as his servant. Whenever Prabhupada, there was a discrepancy in the movement, Prabhupada would say, call for Tamal. So Prabhupada appreciated that. Prabhupada appreciated that people had some spirit to them, rather than just like, you know, sit down devotees. Prabhupada wanted devotees like Kshatriyas. And you see the Kshatriyas, sometimes they would argue with each other, but they all had the same mission if they were on the same team. So, yeah, so there can be some discussion, even heated discussion, but one should never lose sight that the other person, whether it's a spiritual master or another Vaishnava, is dear to Krishna. It should be a discussion based upon, you know, based upon Krishna's pleasure. Certainly. I mean, we do that all the time with our God brothers. We're discussing things. But, and we have different opinions, too, on how to spread the movement. I mean, in our management structure, we have people who are very conservative and people who are extremely liberal. The conservatives say you should wear a dhoti 24 hours a day, even when you're taking a shower. Never take it off, as far as the men. And the liberals say, only when you go in the temple room, you wear a toe. So, I'm just giving one funny example like that. So, we have to live with each other, unity in diversity. So, even though we may discuss, you know, that I don't accept what you're saying, no, I don't accept what you're saying, still we respect each other as Vaishnavas, trying our best within our own realizations. Even though we have different opinions. If we didn't have different opinions, we'd all be little clones. Anybody here see Star Wars? No. You know, Clone Army? You ever seen the Clone Army? They're pretty cool. You know, they're all wearing the same uniform. And it's just like, are we supposed to just be clones, you know, roll over, beg, you know, like a dog? No, we're not supposed to be like that. Cookie cutter devotees. Prabhupada wanted to encourage individuality. I mean, that's one reason why he went to America, because the Americans are rugged individualists. And they, you know, that's the way, that's our culture, you know, cowboys and Indians culture. And Prabhupada liked that. I mean, Prabhupada gone to the UK, they're more like stiff upper lip type of people. Hope I'm not offending any citizens of the UK here. Conservative. You know, even the British humor is very conservative and dry. Of course, it's becoming better now by the influence of the Americans. So, that's a biased statement, if I ever heard one. Anyway, so yes, you have another question.
Thank you, Maharaj. Playing devil's advocate here.
That's good.
So I don't give that my yes hand or yes hand. So how do you reconcile what you're saying? I appreciate what you're saying. I understand what you mean. But, you know, for perhaps the experienced devotees amongst us, how would you reconcile what you said with what's stated in the sastra, that when the spiritual master points to a rope and says to the disciple, that's a snake, and the disciple immediately says, yes, that's a snake, and then the spiritual master says, no, that's a rope, and then the disciple says, oh, yes, it's a rope. So could you explain a little bit about following the order of the spiritual master in the principle? You know, there may be some discussion. The spiritual master may say, I never want you to get married. And the disciple may go, oh, actually, I don't think that's possible. But could you explain the principle of being obedient to the spiritual master?
Yeah, actually, what you're talking about, rope and snake, that's the training a devotee gets in Gurukula. What is that? Gurukula, you get that training when you're young. I'm not saying you become different when you're old. And you have that faith that ultimately you do follow the order of the spiritual master no matter what. When he says, you know, this is the final thing, that's a rope or that's a whatever. You follow the order. But you do have a right. As an adult, when you're an adult, you know, after you left the ashram or whatever of the spiritual master and you've grown up and become a sannyasi or whatever, you have the right to ask the spiritual master Prabhupada does say blind following absurd inquiries are condemned. That's right from the Bhagavad Gita. You have a right to ask the spiritual master, why is that instruction given? Or have, with respect, I have a different idea. And because there's a higher principle. The higher principle is spreading Krishna consciousness. If we were just living in the ashram of the spiritual master, we didn't have a mission, then that's a different thing. But it, out of service, one can do things. I mean, I'll give an example from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Lord Chaitanya's servant, Govinda, one time had to step over Lord Chaitanya's body to serve him. Because Lord Chaitanya was lying in the doorway, and it was time for Lord Chaitanya's massage. So he put a little cloth and stepped over. That's a great offense. That's a violation of Vedic principles. So he was serving Lord Chaitanya. But he didn't step over the other direction to eat prasadam. Lord Chaitanya said, why haven't you eaten after 2 or 3 hours? He said, because I'm willing to commit offenses in order to serve you. But in order for my own sense of gratification, no way I'll do that. So there, for a mature devotee, there is that discrimination. And certainly Tamaka Smara has had that discrimination. But if we're not mature yet, or we're not sure, then one has to be very, very careful. So it's a good question you asked, and it takes some discrimination. But Prabhupada certainly, I saw on a number of occasions where Prabhupada appreciated that. Now, on a number of occasions, devotees didn't follow Prabhupada and they ended up in trouble. I'll give you the example of Shruti Kirti Prabhu. Shruti Kirti Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada said to him, never go in the temple kitchen. Now, you may ask, why did Prabhupada say not go in the temple kitchen? Because in Los Angeles, Shruti Kirti was quite a handsome chap. I don't know if you ever met Shruti Kirti, if you ever came here. Even he's still handsome. Of course, I don't know, I'm not that attractive. But he's quite handsome. And, you know, in Los Angeles, there's a lot of ladies looking for husbands. I mean, it's really like the place where you go if you want to find a husband. Any of the girls are interested. So Prabhupada said, don't go in the kitchen. So he went, he disobeys Prabhupada's order, thinking, I know better, you know, at a Prabhupada service, I gotta get involved in the kitchen. Goes in the kitchen, next thing you know, he's married. Of course, Prabhupada was able to transform that. I mean, Prabhupada didn't get angry and say, you disobeyed my instructions, you got attached to a lady we just met. I was in Hawaii. She's a nice lady. Older now, of course. And a nice son was born as a result of that. His name is Mayapur Chandra, which some of you may have met, who Prabhupada was very affectionate to, gave the name to, and he has a nice wife, and his daughter just took initiation, just got married, you know, the granddaughter, you know, Mother Ermila's family. Probably Ermila's family, so. And anyway, so it all ended up well. Prabhupada was very merciful. And that was an instance of disobeying the order of the spiritual master, but Prabhupada saved this devotee and engaged his disobedience in Krishna's service. Prabhupada's very merciful. So, but that wasn't an instance of, for Prabhupada's service or thinking he knew what Prabhupada wanted. In fact, before doing something like that, one should clarify with the spiritual master. If one has to go to the point of doing something that the spiritual master asks you not to do, you should go to him and say, can I do it? And if he keeps saying no, don't do it. So ultimately, there has to be obedience. Ultimately, one is obedient to the spiritual master.
All the issues that have occurred in my world and are still occurring in my world is, from my personal perspective, I believe the spiritual master is telling his disciples, don't behave like this, don't do it.
Yeah.
And they're deliberately disobeying.
Yes.
And it's a very sad indictment of their devotion to the spiritual master.
Yeah, that's... Unfortunately, they are committing major offenses by disobeying their spiritual master and acting in such a fashion. One should never disobey the spiritual master, but one has the right to talk to the spiritual master, ask for clarification. I've seen, Actually, in I saw the same thing years ago in Mayapur, just to give a little history, where Jayaprataka Maharaj was ordering the devotees there to allow women to give Bhagavatam class in the temple, and they started yelling at their spiritual master. It was quite offensive. I mean, I was there was this big meeting, and I guess I was the chairman of the GPC at that time, so I was invited to that meeting. And I was shocked how they're dealing with their spiritual master. One has to deal with great respect with the spiritual master, but the relationship is personal too. You know, it's a personal relationship. It's not, he's not God. It's very important to understand that point. He's the supreme personality, servitor of Godhead to the disciple. But he's not God and he's not omniscient. So one should present, if one has some other information, one can present like that devotee did with Prabhupada about the wigs on Sankirtan. But there's a fine line. The point you're making is very good, because it's not that we have a right to say anything or your right to disobey. It's a fine line. Sounds like Kirtan.
Prashadam.
Oh, Prashadam. Uh-oh. In other words, they want me to end. Get the message very clearly. All right, so unfortunately we have to end. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. For those of you watching online, we're in New Govardhan in Australia, and here are all the devotees and the deities. Say Hari Bol to everybody. Haribo, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. Radharani, you're watching this, good. Nabkishori, Haribo, good to see you. Okay, let me get offline.